Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. If you aren't, you should be. You know, because this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it just seems that over the last year and a half and things that people aren't as happy as they used to be. You know, of course, even if they are, you can't see them if they're behind a mask anyway. But praise God. Well, the title of my message tonight is Don't Limit God. Never limit God. And I was, the other day, I had the unique opportunity to have listen to a minister talk, and someone was asking him questions, and they said, what was the one key thing that helped you to kind of move forward in your ministry? And his answer was, the day I quit limiting God. The day I quit limiting God. And he said, well, what do you mean limiting God? He says, well, I guess I'll be honest with this guy. He's a very humble man. And he goes, I never saw myself doing some of the things that I'm doing today. And because I couldn't see myself doing those kind of things, I didn't get to that place. And one day God told me, quit limiting me. You know, let me work through you. And he says that was the biggest key to his success in ministry. And that's our biggest key to our success in life, is at some point in time, we have to limit, you know, quit limiting God, because, you know, our God doesn't have a limit. You know, and the hard part about it is that we have senses. You know, what do we see? What do we feel? What do we know? What do we understand? And so sometimes we're thinking, well, I don't see how that could happen. You know, but it's not about what you see, it's about what he sees. And sometimes if we even look at ourselves and some of the mistakes and some of the things that we've messed up, and like, well, I don't see how God could use me or why he'd want to use me. But God doesn't look at your mistakes, he looks at your future. I mean, you know, think about this. You know, we read the Bible, we read the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul, all the great, wonderful books that he wrote and all the churches, you know, that he oversaw, but one day he was a mess up too. You know, we read about that Damascus Road experience, you know, where God got a hold of him. You know, and if God can use him, he can use you as well. You know, and he had to overcome a lot. But we cannot limit God. And one of the ways, like I said, we limit God is through our own senses. And I want to go back to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. And this actually is when the prophet Samuel was told by God to go anoint the next king of Israel. And he went to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons king of Israel. And Jesse had a number of sons. And verse number 6 says this, says, when they arrived, Samuel took one look of Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. See, even the prophet can get it wrong. You know, now it is interesting. You know, a lot of times people think, well, man, if you're a prophet, you know everything. Actually, God didn't tell him who it was. He would just tell him who it wasn't. And so, but he looked at the oldest son and said, yeah, this guy looks like the king. He looks like he's kingly. Now, I don't know how you look kingly, but I guess Samuel must have. You know, he could just sense the Lord's anointing all over him. And verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so, you know, just because you can't see, you know, how that's going to happen in your life, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just because you can't see how God can use that individual doesn't mean he can't. You know, God's not limited by your natural limitations. So in order to take the limits off God in our own life is we have to get rid of our natural limitations. Now, we know the story. They went through all the sons that were at the house, you know, and Jesse figured, well, my youngest son's never going to be the one chosen. You know, so I'm going to keep him out there in the field, you know, with the sheep, you know, doing the, you know, the sheep herding stuff, because there's no way that David would be that. Well, it turns out after they go through all the sons that were there, the prophet says, you got any more sons? None of these guys are it. He goes, well, you know, I got the youngest. He's out there in the field, you know. I don't think it's probably him, but we'll bring him in anyway. So, you know, because Samuel said he wasn't going to, you know, they're not going to be able to eat until they brought Samuel. And if you get hungry, you know, you want to make sure everyone gets to eat. So they brought David in, and sure enough, he was it. See, God chose the one that looked like that wasn't the one. So you know what? God can choose you, or God can use you. But we limit God. Now, over in the New Testament, John chapter 14, John the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, says this, and you know, every minister should know this. Because see, here's the deal. Everything that we do in life and in ministry is not really us. It's the Lord working through us and with us. All right? And John 14, 12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, this is Jesus talking, will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now, this is Jesus talking, and now, remember, if we want to have a rundown of some of the works that Jesus did, well, his first miracle, he changed the water into wine. He fed the 5,000. He walked on the water. I don't know how many people were miraculously healed and set free. You know, all of these things, he did all kinds of great things, all kinds of things like, man, how do you do that? Well, Jesus says, I did some awesome things, but you can do greater things because I go to the right-hand side of the Father. And really, it's because the Spirit of the living God dwells in us. Because really, you realize that he's still doing the great things. We're just the ones he uses. Now, like I said, every minister should know that. But I want to read that verse again, and I want you to get what he says. He says this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me. You notice he didn't say anybody who's a minister of the gospel who has dedicated themselves to preach the word. He says that anyone who believes in me. That includes anyone that's saved. You know, because a lot of times we sell ourselves short. Well, I'm going to come get the pastor. He's going to pray for you. You're going to get healed. Well, why don't you pray for him? They can get healed. Well, I just never done that. Well, Jesus has. And the same Jesus that lives in me lives on the inside of you. You know that wake me up scripture? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He's going to quicken your mortal body. We always use it. You know, this is the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. And we use it to wake up in the morning time when we're sleepy. I mean, you know, when we say quicken your mortal body, it's like, you know, not just quicken, regenerate your mortal body. And see, sometimes what happens is when we read things, it's because of our limited thought life. We're thinking, well, if God could just wake me up, that would be good enough. Well, God just doesn't want to wake up. He wants to, reinvigorate you, re-energize you. He wants you to think higher than you think yourself. You know, like I said, I believe a lot of people would be excited if God would meet 75% of their needs, but our God wants to meet all of our needs. Not just 75%, you know, and actually wants to meet all your needs and more. You know, he's the pressed down, shaken together, running over and overflowing God. Now, many of us have seen the old video that my grandfather, during the first camp meeting or so, El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Well, that's the same God that we serve. The God that's not just enough. He's more than enough. So when I was studying about, taking off the limits, I actually ran across a message that I believe is in one of our Word of Faith. Actually, it was a message from my father titled Unlimited. And I'm not going to read the whole message or the whole thing, but the first part's really good. And he asked here, he says, what is the biggest thing you can think of that you can think God can do? You know, because we say, well, God can do anything. And my dad says, you know, most people would say there is no limit. God can do anything. And then he says, that's right. But let me rephrase the question. What's the biggest thing you think God can do for you? If God can do anything, what can God do for you? And then he goes, let's just bring this a little closer at home. What's the biggest thing you think God can do for you today? Today. I mean, we serve an unlimited God. What can he do for you today? Well, really, he can do whatever you need. You know, goes on to say, now we're getting very specific. That question puts your response in the now. What can God do for you today? Now, he says this, I've asked these questions to help you realize that we often think about God and what he can do for us in a vague or general way. Yes, we know that God can do anything. We know that he promised to provide for his children, but he will provide for me today. Today. You know, sometimes if we see somebody, you know, maybe you're scrolling through Facebook or whatever, and you see someone give a testimony, and you're thinking, man, that's awesome. But I'm here to tell you, the same God that can give that person a testimony can also give you just the same or a better testimony. You know, a lot of times people are thinking, man, I got a $10,000 bill. That's a pretty big one, right? $10,000 bill. You know, I mean, not literally a $10,000 bill. I owe $10,000. All right? Owing $10,000 to somebody might be pretty hard, and thinking, man, I just don't know, you know, with my income and you know, my limited resources, how God is going to help me meet that. Then see, you know, that's what some people think. Then my thought is, man, I read the Bible. Anyone read the Bible? All right, good. I got like 20% of you read the Bible at least. I mean, that's awesome. Anyone watching online, have you read the Bible? Maybe more of you have read the Bible than us people here. But, you know, anyone who read Genesis? Genesis, you know, that's the beginning. You know, and I've read Genesis, and the first part, because most people that know nothing about the Bible, like, I don't know where to start. I'll just start in Genesis. And they read, and the earth was null and void, and God said, let there be light. Anyone read that in the Bible? You know the next thing that happened? The sun came on. I mean, not just light. I mean, you know, he's not flipping a switch. He's not doing the clapper, clap on, clap off. You know, we've all seen it. I mean, the man spoke and the sun came on. Now, I don't know if the sun was a planet, you know, and it just lit up or whatever. I guess when God speaks to you, you light up or you ignite. But the thing about it is when God spoke, there was light. You know, we go on saying, you know, something else I think is pretty awesome is that a man, I mean, I don't know if anyone ever had anatomy classes and biology and all this stuff, you know, but when you find out the origin of all your human cells and all your organs and all that thing was dirt. I mean, God made a man from dirt, and obviously if you study Genesis, he made the woman from a rib. For a man's spare rib, that's why women like ribs today, you know. Or maybe man likes ribs, I don't know, because they don't have as many as they used to, or whatever. But, I mean, it's like amazing. So it makes your $10,000 look pretty small. See, you know, I know $10,000 looks good. It looks big to us, and I'm using a big number because I think for most of us, $10,000 is a pretty big number. Big number for me. You know, and if it's not, can I have some money? I mean, you know, if that's not a big number for you, come see me after church, and I want to borrow some money. But the point is that, you know, our small thinking is why we get small results. We limit God by what we can think, by what we can speak, because, you know, we can have what we say we can have, but if you don't believe it, you know, it's really up to us. What do you believe? What do you believe and what do you not believe? Now, I'm going to read the scripture that I read almost every time I preach. John 10:10. Remember that one? The New Living Translation says this. It says that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now I read a lot and talk a lot about the devil and what his purpose is. But I'm going to focus in on the other part of that verse. He says this, my purpose is to give them or give you a rich and satisfying life. All right, so Jesus said that his purpose, I mean, one of the reasons he came to this earth is for you to have a rich and satisfying life. So if you are not having a rich and satisfying life, you're not reaching his full potential. Now, it's not his fault. He came for you to have a rich and satisfying life. You have to claim that rich and satisfying life over yourself. And because you can't see yourself having a rich and satisfying life, and sometimes that we limit ourselves because we say, well, if I was God, I would punish me because I'm not good enough. Well, God doesn't punish you like that. You know, maybe you had a hard father that punished you, you know, for a lot of stuff, or maybe you was a hard mother. But Jesus doesn't punish you for those things. I mean, I talked to someone one time and they said, well, Craig, I just can't see it because, you know, I don't know why God would want to bless me because I haven't been as faithful and as just to him. I mean, you know, I hadn't gone to church in years. Well, we can fix that. Well, my kids aren't in church. I didn't bring my family up right. Well, we can fix that. As long as they're still here. If not, we need to pray for them. Anyway, reading from the Amplified Version, it says this, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. Then I came that they might may have life and have it in abundance. And then parentheses says, to the full till it overflows. To the full till it overflows. And so Jesus wants us to have an overflowing life. Now, my dad says this in this unlimited thing. He says, we see from this verse that God wants us to have a full, abundant, overflowing life. But the truth is we can't have abundance until we can think in abundance. To live the way God wants us to, we must change the way we think and talk about his words and what he says we can have. And so we have to talk differently. We have to have a different mindset if we want to have what we want to have. You know, I'm just going to tell you, you know, obviously you guys that are here know that I have been on and am on a weight loss journey, okay? And my goal is actually to lose 100 pounds, maybe more. And I was told by somebody very close to me that I couldn't lose 100 pounds without having surgery. All right. Now, they were just understanding the way I diet and exercise, and they, you know, they understood that. And I went ahead to tell you, if I didn't change some things, I wasn't going to lose 100 pounds without having surgery. All right. But I had to change my mindset. I had to change my thinking because I was tired of being fat. Not that I'm skinny yet, all right? I'm skinnier. But the deal is that I had to know that I could do it before I could do it. You know, I had to see myself being able to do it. I know, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's been really easy. In fact, my wife said that. I was like, man, you've really lost weight fairly easy. I'm like, yeah, it hasn't been that hard. Now, I don't eat some of the things that some of you guys eat. You know, now, does it look good? Probably. You know, and but, you know, so does looking skinny. I am going to say, you know, I'm going to brag on myself because I like it. No, it is really cool. I mean, you realize that every day I walk around and you know, and even online, I get compliments every day. So it's pretty awesome. The more compliments you get, the easier it goes. Whenever you're looking at that dessert and thinking, man, I hadn't had one of those in months. So, but it's like, you know, it's okay. You know, now I will say my nutritionist says every once in a while it's okay to reward yourself and just make sure you get back on the program. Because, you know, it's one thing to lose the weight, another thing to keep it off. But because if you think one way and you get to one point and then you go back to your thinking, then you screw up again. That's why I've seen people, you know, for whatever reason, they were able to unlimit the way they thought. God blessed them, and then all of a sudden they get back to their old way of thinking. I mean, they don't even remember what they did and how God blessed them. But you know what? God is not limited. Well, he is limited by your thought life for you, but he's never limited. If you'll think about taking off the limits, you'll see things you never thought you would see, because first of all, you have to think you'll see them. Luke 1:37 says this, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Now you realize the word nothing is a compound word meaning no thing. I mean, sometimes we don't think about, but it means no thing shall be impossible with God. And here's what I want you to understand. Everything that we do, we're doing it with God. All right? With God's help. That's why you're unlimited, because he's unlimited. All right? But, you know, we as a natural human, you are limited. But see, once Jesus Christ comes in, he brings in what we, as an, you know, in our world, think of as superpowers. You realize that? Some of you never thought about it, that you are full of superpowers. Superpowers that are not limited. You know, you understand that superheroes have certain things, certain abilities that are not limited by normal ways of thinking. You know, like Superman has all kinds of extra strength, and he's really fast, and he can leap buildings and he can fly and all these kind of things. Unless there's a thing called kryptonite around. And obviously the devil's your kryptonite. So kick him out. Don't keep him around. But you know, God and Jesus help you to become Superman. You know, whenever you put on the mind of Christ, it's like going into a phone booth and changing to your superhero outfit. All right? You know, people like to be able to think like that. But, you know, so you realize the more you start having the mind of Christ all the time, the less you limit God, and the more you can become a superhero for God. All right? Luke 18:27, this happens to be my dad's favorite scripture, if you would like to know that. You know, some things you learn. In fact, I'm going to read my mom's favorite scripture here in a few minutes. Luke 18:27 says this, "But he said," Jesus talking, "the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." You know, so it doesn't matter if it seems impossible, because I've heard people say, well, that's impossible. Oh, so? Well, I've heard people say, well, one person told me one time, "There's no way you could do that." Well, have you ever read the Bible? I mean, you know, see, I grew up in a household. My grandfather always told me, because I'm a stickler for the word, what does the word say? Well, the word says that nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. And then over here in Mark 9:23, it says this, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So it says, you know what? All I have to do is believe it's possible, and it's possible. Now, the Bible clearly says, it says, if you can believe. So it puts the burden on you. Yeah, nothing's impossible with God, but it's not possible to you unless you believe. Which brings me to my favorite Shakespeare saying, to believe or not to believe? That is the question. Of course, that wasn't William Shakespeare, by the way. But pretty much that's Jesus talking in Shakespearean language. But really, it's up to you. You either believe or you don't believe. You either get it or you don't get it. You either have overflowing or you don't have enough. See, I'm trying to tell you is you can serve the God that's more than enough and not have enough because you don't believe you can have enough because you can't see it with your own mind. It's about your imagination. You know, the deal is that I wish some of us would have watched more Sesame Street and Electric Company and Mr. Rogers when we were younger. You know, because they taught us about imagination. Or for some of you, next generation up, it was Barney the Purple Dinosaur. He even has a song about imagination. I used to be able to sing it because my kids watch Barney. I'm not sure what the latest thing to watch that teaches any kind of good stuff. But you know what? If we can imagine it, if we can see it, if we can see ourselves having it, we can see ourselves doing it. I don't know how many times that I've heard my grandfather said, well, we'll see yourself healed. You know, what would you do if that bill was paid? Well, some say, I'd jump around and run around and then do it because by faith it's paid. What would you do if you were moving into that new house today? The one that you think you can't afford? Well, I'd be excited. Well, get excited. See, we have to get excited by faith before we have it. Because the things that are impossible to our own mind are possible through God. With God, all things are possible. Only believe. We're only limited about our thought life. Our thought life limits us. You know, and see, one of the things is, going back to John 10:10, is one of the tricks the devil uses is he tries to limit your thought life so you never get it. You know, and there's people that live and die and never get it. I mean, they never get it. Naturally, they never get in their own thought life. See, everything starts with your mind. If you never believe that God's going to meet your need, he'll never meet your need because you didn't believe it. Because the Bible says you can have what you can believe. And a lot of people get frustrated with God, and they're like, well, God, why is everybody else getting it but I'm not? Because you don't believe it. Or you don't believe that you can get it. I've heard people, you know, told me, well, you know, I know Brother Hagin has all these stories and he got this and he got that, you know, but he's a man of faith. Well, so are you. Unless you're a woman, then you're a woman of faith. And you should know whether you're a man or woman. There's only two sexes, by the way, just for, I know it's confusing in the way we live in, but you know, there was Adam and Eve and there's still Adam and Eve. Okay, you know, there's no third gender. And I don't care what you identify as, doesn't matter. You are who you are. So you might as well be happy with who you are. You know, because it's just that way. All right, we'll go to Mom's favorite verse, because I got to wrap things up here. Philippians 4:13. This is my mom's favorite verse. And it says these words. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say you can do all things. You can do all things. It says you can do all things through Christ. And a lot of people mess up because they're like, well, you know, well, I can do this. No, you can't do it without Christ. But with Christ, you can do anything that you can imagine. And that's the thing. It's not about you. It's about you and him working together. You're a team. And here's the thing, if you can see yourself as a team, it's a whole lot easier seeing yourself being able to, you know, attain something because you're just the weak part of the team. You are the weakest link. All right, I mean, you know, you're the weak part. But praise God, he's the strong part, and he's going to make up for all your weak parts. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, and the way I kind of explain this, how many of you have gone to Raymond Bible Training College or are a graduate of the training college, especially more of a recent graduate? A lot of you are here. I'm sure a lot of you are watching. If you've ever sung our school song and you hit the first line standing here today, then when you know that I wrote that, Mr. Non-musical, non-talented, non-anything, that I actually, that was a line that I wrote because I was told that my mom, the song that, if it was up to the person who wrote the song, we would have started with the Word and the Spirit, the Sweet Holy Ghost. That would have been the first line you would have sang. But mom says, that was a good chorus, so let's add to it. And I looked at her, and I'm like, well, okay. She's telling me what she was thinking. And I'm like, well, who's going to write it? I don't know. I don't care. You just sit down with someone and write it. So I knew I couldn't argue because I know her favorite verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if an idiot can write a song, God can do something in your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You know. And you know what? Even if it's something really important, because our school song is like one of the most important things you want, because I want an alma mater for the school. It's pretty important. Do you realize that anyone who's been a student, you sang that song every week for 2 stinking years? Before you get to graduation day and you're standing, well, it used to be standing downtown, now it's standing here. Because the song is only written for one thing and one thing only. Mom says, I want you to imagine that our graduates are there at graduation. And this is what I want to get over to, you know, I want them to think about. That's why I came with the first line, standing here today, because mom says, you know, you're standing there at graduation. I'm like, how hard that is. Somebody else get the next line. So we wrote it. It was all written for one point and one time only, graduation day. But we sing it every week. We learn it every week. And, you know, like I said, if an idiot can write a song, then God can use you to do something. Guaranteed. Last verse, still in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, once again, Christ Jesus is an integral part of you getting your needs met. Now, I've said this a number of times, but I want to reiterate that your need is not just always financial. Some of you need to use the scripture sometimes when you need things that are not financial. Sometimes sometimes you just need some kind of something else. Sometimes you maybe just need a hug. You know, our needs are not always financial needs. You know, whatever. Sometimes, you know, we need direction. You know, sometimes we do need financial. Sometimes we need healing. See, this is a healing scripture. My God shall meet all your need according to the riches of glory. What do you need? Whatever you need, he can meet if you let him. It's about you needing something. But ultimately, we are the ones that limit God. We limit God in our life. We limit God in our ministry. We limit God in our finances. We limit God in our marriage. We limit God, you know, in every day. We limit God in our friendships. Everything we do, we just have to let the limits go. And, you know, I know that I can accomplish way more than I can accomplish because I know that the greater one lives on the inside of me. And it's not about me accomplishing anything. It's about him accomplishing a lot through me. You know, and I don't like even taking the credit for anything I do, you know, because I know it wasn't me. I know it was him working through me. And whenever you see things that way, I mean, it's a whole lot easier to understand not being limited because you know what? I'm not going to limit him, and he's not going to limit me. What can you believe? What can you see? What can you imagine? Remember, God said, let there be light. and the sun turned on. I want you to think about that. Next time you open up an envelope and see a bill that looks higher than you think you can afford to pay. And I want you to remember, one day the sun wasn't lit. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. That's the God kind of faith. That's the faith we talk about. That's the reason we have a faith shield on top of this building. Never limit God in your life. In any area of your life. And I tell you what, you'll see things you never thought you would see if you'll start seeing them. You know, not seeing them, you have to see them first, you know, with your on the inside. And then later on, you're like, man, I dreamed about that a long time ago. I've heard people say things, well, I never dreamed that I'd be in that situation. I'm like, man, you're crazy. I mean, you know, you should have dreamed, you know, you're in a better situation. I mean, you know, you're limited, or God's limited, by what you think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing for us and everything that you have done for us. And we thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of us. And we thank you that through Jesus, that there are no limits. And we thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in our life. And Father God, we thank you that next time that the people who are here, people watching us online, next time they go through a situation, whether it be financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, they go through a situation where things look tough, things look like there's no way, we thank you, Father, that they'll remember this message. And remember that with God, there is no limits. And God wants to bless us. And God wants to for us to have life and have it overflowing. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight you guys come on down here. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you can know him tonight. Or maybe here tonight and you've been having trouble with limiting God in your own life. I tell you what, we have some gentlemen over here, some ladies over there. If you happen to be a lady, go see the ladies. Happen to be a gentleman, go see the gentleman. And these guys will pray with you. If you've never been saved, they're going to pray with you for salvation. Maybe you've been limiting God in your life. They're going to pray with you that you'll take that limits off God. If whatever you might need tonight, I just want you to come down here. If there's something you need, once again, like I said, if you're a lady, go visit the ladies. If you're a gentleman there. If you don't know what you are, we have ushers who will help you and direct you. All right, let's all stand up. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. I do want to mention one more thing because I mentioned it this morning, but like I said, if some of you, it happens to be spring break week, and if some of you have kids, they're having a skating session, I think 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday at the NRC, so some of you have kids that are looking for something to do during spring break, and they're locked in the house with you, maybe you can take them skating over there at the NRC. Amen. God bless you guys. Turn around, tell somebody, hey, don't limit God, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday night.